Today's shir is Masecht Avodah Zarah Daf Nun. We will begin by Ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud at the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins to discuss the Avodah Zarah of Markulis. As we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, the Avodah Zarah of Markulis was three stones, two alongside each other, one on top of them. And the way it was worshipped was by throwing stones on it. The Meiri explains what is the explanation of this type of Avodah Zarah. So he says the people who worshipped Markulis were people who were farmers. They worked the land. And because they worked the land, they became connected to the stones that are in the ground. And that's why they began to worship the stones. The Tversh Yisrael says that the Markulis, which is made out of stones, is actually for the people who travel. It says people who travel on the stone road, they would worship that to show them that they should go on the right path. And he goes on to explain that the structure of the Markulis, as we just said, with two stones alongside each other and one stone on top, is very reminiscent of a person, and that the person who has his head on top of his two hands should have the right approach, should be able to travel safely. The Yad Ramah says that the way the Markulis was worshipped was that they used to throw the stones, and they also used to shave their beards and their hair as they worshipped the Avodah Zarah. Many Rishonim asked the question. The Torah Kedosha says the words, "V'shem Elohim Acherim Leisaskiru." We're not allowed to mention the name of Avodah Zarah. And our Mishnah, and our Perek particularly, the name of this Avodah Zarah is going to come up quite frequently. And the question is, how are we allowed to mention the name of Avodah Zarah? Rabbeinu Tam says that the name of Markulis was not really Markulis. The real name of this Avodah Zarah was Kilus. Kilus means to praise. But because Chazal wanted to defame the Avodah Zarah, they started calling it Mar. Mar is bitter. And the Mar, what it was meant to say was that it's bitter, just the opposite. Instead of deserving praise, it's really bitter. It's something that doesn't deserve any praise. So says the Mishnah, Mishmalai Mishloish Avonim Zubitzadzu. If you have three stones next to each other, Bitzad Makulis, which you find next to the Makulis, Asuris, you have to be concerned that they are Avodah Zarah. But if you only find Shtayim, if you only find two stones, Mutaris, then you don't have to be concerned. The Chama have a different approach. Nearest Imai, any stone that's seen along with the Markulis, Asuris, is considered like an Avodah Zarah. However, Shein Nearest Imai, any Avodah Zarah that's not seen together with the Markulis, and of course this was all be explained in the Gemara, Mutaris. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Rabbanan, the Rabbanan who distinguished between of stones which are next to the Markulis versus stones that are not next to the Markulis, Ksavri, their opinion is, Ivrim Lishvarim, that they used to worship even the broken stones. And therefore, Nirisimai, if the stones are so close that they're seen next to the actual Avodah Zarah, Dikla Meimer, that there's strong reason to believe that these stones fell from the Avodah Zarah, Asurais, they're also because they are considered like part of the they're considered like part of the Avodah Zarah, because the way this, to understand this is that every stone that was thrown to the Markulis becomes part of the Markulis, and every stone, even if it's broken, the halacha is considered also. And according to this understanding, the Rishonim make a point. The Mishnah starts talking about three stones or two stones. But according to this, the number is not really nafgamina. It's not the number that counts. What counts according to this understanding is what is next to the Avodah Zarah. And therefore, she'en nerusimai, if the stone are distant from the Avodah Zarah, mutaris. Eli Rabbi Shmuel, but ask the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel, Micah Sava, let's understand the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. E oivdim l'shvarim, if the issue is that they worship even the broken stones, afil tati litzer, the halacha is that even two stones, they're part of the Avodah Zarah, and they ought to be asur. E ein oivdim l'shvarim, and if the broken stones are considered like Avodah Zarah that became bottle, a subject that we discuss often in our Masechta, so then the broken stones are not Avodah Zarah, and therefore the halacha ought to be afil tanas namiloi. Even three stones should not be a problem, answers the Gemara. A new way of understanding the Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel and the Rabbonim. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yedua shenoshu memenu, if we know for certain that these stones fell off the Markulis, the Divrei HaKol Asuris, they're considered part of the Avodah Zarah and they're also behandom. V'fil aman da'amar, and even according to the opinion, says the Gemara, ein oivdim l'shvarim, that typically the broken part of an Avodah Zarah, broken Avodah Zarah are not worshipped. When was that said by an Avodah Zarah that is not typically worshipped that way? But when we speak about the Makulus Avodah Zarah, they used to throw the stones, and the stones would break as they threw it at the Avodah Zarah. So therefore, this is considered the way this Avodah Zarah is worshipped. And since this is considered the way this Avodah Zarah is worshipped, there's no question that they're also. Ki pligi, what is the subject, what is the situation where Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbanan disagree? Bistama, we find stones, and we're not certain if those stones fell off the Markulis or not. Bimakarovis, and says the Gemara, not and under all circumstances are they arguing. Bimakarovis nami, when the stones are next to the Markulis, and we're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi. Rashi says that they're within an amma of the Avodah Zarah. Tosfos, which is not the approach that we're going to be learning the Gemara, says that it could be even further than an amma. But again, b'makarovas nami, when you have stones that are very close to the actual Avodah Zarah, that there we have strong reason to suspect that they fell off the Avodah Zarah, the Reakal Asuras. Everybody will agree that it doesn't make a difference, even if there are two stones. The halacha is that they're Asur. Ki pligi, what is this area, what is this situation that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Chamim are arguing? B'merchakos, when they're more than an amma distance from the Makulus. And now, it can't be certain that they fell from the Makulis because they're so far away. So the Gemara says that when we have stones that are next to the Makulis, we assume that they fell from the Makulis, and therefore we can't have any benefit from them. So the Achrayim ask that there's a rule which we learned in Masechta Baba Basra. The Gemara in Masechta Baba Basra taught us that when we have Shas is all about sveikas. Shas is all about questions. And what do we do when we have a question? And two of the tools that the Torah gives us to use when we have a question, one is roiv, we follow the majority, and the other is karav, what's closer. And the Gemara Masechta Baba Basra daf Chaf Gimel on Mabez teaches us that when roiv takes us in one direction and karav takes us in a different direction, we follow the roiv. And roiv of the stones in the world are obviously not Makulis stones. So ask the Chasam Sofer, why do we say that just because they're next to the Makulis, they must be Avodah Zarah? Why don't we follow the roiv of stone? Says the Chasam Sofer, that even when there's a concept of roiv and karav, it doesn't mean that we follow it under all circumstances. And he says here, he says even more so. Here the Roiv, since most people who throw stones in that location throw them to Merkulis, so even the Roiv pushes us in that direction. The other Achroinim I saw say, so the Chasam Sofer is trying to turn this into a Roiv. But other Achroinim say a different approach. It's not that this is considered a situation of Roiv, but rather the way they explain this Gemara is that this, that the rule of Roiv and Karev is not a hard and fast rule. And sometimes where it's obvious that we should follow the Karev, that's what we're going to do. That's why over here we determine if it's close, we assume that it's from Avodah Zarah. Ask the Gemara before we could understand. So according to this, the Machloikas is when they're distant from the actual Avodah Zarah. But ask the Gemara, Babit Sad Makulis Ktani, the Mishnah used the words that they're next to the Makulis. And according to the way we're learning now, the entire Machloikas in the Mishnah is only when they're not next to the Makulis. Because when they're next to the Makulis, everybody will agree that they're Usur. Answers the Gemara, my Bitzad. What is meant when the Mishnah used the word Bitzad? It meant Arba Amos the day. It's next to the Makulis, but it's 4 Amos distance. And now the Gemara, after we've identified what is the case of the Machloikas of the Mishnah, now the Gemara begins to explain the opinions. Rav Shmuel Sofer, Ois Makulis Kot Mitzad Makulis Gadol. They wanted to increase the Avodah Zarah. So since they wanted to increase the Avodah Zarah, they made a small one next to the big one. So therefore, Sholosh the Damian the Makulis, when you have 3 stones which look like the Makulis Avodah Zarah, Asurois, the Shtayim, but when you only have 2 stones, Mutarois, because that's not the way the Makulis Avodah Zarah is worshipped. So many Rishonim asked the question, we're going to be learning quite extensively in our Perek, a big Machloikas of Rishmon Bekiva. When does an Avodah Zarah become Usur? And Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is that an Avodah Zarah does not become Usur until it's actually worshipped. So the question they ask is, just because you have a Makulis cotton next to the Makulis Gadol, who says that it already was worshipped? And according to Rabbi Shmuel, until it's actually worshipped, it's not Usur. So they answer that, yes, if we have an Avodah Zarah, certainly Avodah Zarah of a Nachri, Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is it doesn't become an Avodah Zarah until it's worshipped. But still, it is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel that since the Makulis Gadol, as we just spoke about, is already worshipped, that's enough to make the Makulis Katan into an Avodah Zarah, even if it hasn't yet been worshipped. Whereas, says the Gemara, Rabbanan Savri, the opinion of the Rabbanan is, they ain't always Makulis Gadol, but some Makulis Gadol. That wasn't necessarily what they did. They made the small Makulis next to big Makulis. Loishna, and therefore there's no difference if you have Shloisha, if you have 3 stones, Loishna Shtayim, or 2 stones, and as we quoted Ritva earlier, it doesn't even make, in the same halacha would apply when you have 1. And therefore, nearest Imai, if they're next to the Avodah Zarah, so then, Asuris, Ein Nirus Imoi Mutaris. And I saw the Tosfos Rit explains what is the basis of the disagreement between Rabbi Shmuel and between Rabbi Shmuel and the Rabbanim. Rabbi Shmuel says it was common that they should make a Avodah Zarah cotton next to the Avodah Zarah Gadol. The Rabbanim hold just the opposite. It's disrespectful, they hold, to make an Avodah Zarah cotton next to the Avodah Zarah Gadol. And since it's disrespectful to make an Avodah Zarah cotton next to the Avodah Zarah Gadol, there is no concern that this is an Avodah Zarah. Says the Gemara, Amamar, we just learned, B'yidu shenoshim emenu, divrei akol asuris. When we know that these stones fell off the main makulis, everybody would agree that those stones are also. For many, ask the Gemara, the Brisa says, Avon shenoshim ena makulis, if stones fell off the makulis, nirisimai, if they're next to it, asurais, because they're considered part of the Avodah Zarah, ein nirisimai mitaris, reshma loima sholosh asuris, shtai mitaris. So we see there Rishma and Lechamim arguing, even a case where we know for sure that it fell off. And Rabban's opinion is that if they're not next to it, they're mutter because they don't worship Shvarim. And according to Rav Shmuel, only if you have three, not two. Says the Gemara, Omer Rava, Lei Tema Shanashu. Don't say that the Brice is speaking about a case that we know for certain that they fell off the Avodah Zarah. Because if we know for certain they fell off the Avodah Zarah, everybody would agree that they're considered part of the Avodah Zarah. Lema, rather, the right gear says Shanimtsu, that they're found next to the Avodah Zarah. And as we explained, Dalet Amos, and that's where we have the Machlaikas. Ask the Gemara of a Sovereign Rabbi Shmuel. And it is the Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is Shnai Mutaris, that if you have two, it's Mutar. Vatanya Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, to ask the Gemara, the Braisa says, Rabbi Shmuel Oimer Shtayim b'tfisa loy Asuris. If they're very close, they're Asur. Shalosh afil mechakas Asuris. So, Tfisis Yad is four Amis. And here we're saying that according to Rabbi Shmuel, they're Asur. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's going to be Asur. We're not like what Rabbi Yochanan said. And it says, Gemara Amar Rav Kasha. Kan b'tfisa achas, if there's not a large distance, you could stand by the Avodah Zarah and easily hold the stones that are there. Everybody will agree, if you could catch them with tfisa achas, they'll be osir, because they're considered part of the Avodah Zarah. Kan, the mission, that's what the Brice is speaking about. Kan, b'shtei tfisas, when there's a separation between the stones that you found in the Makolos. Vechidomi, what does that mean? As we just said, that there is a separation between the Avodah Zarah and the Makolos. Shalosh, three stones of Shmuel will say is osir, because even though you have this barrier between the Makolos and the stones, Rabbi Shmuel is concerned that maybe there is a, this is a Makolos cotton that was put up next to Makolos Gadol, and Rabbi Vanan are not, as we explained earlier, concerned about a Makolos cotton next to Makolos Gadol. Ask the Gemara, the Makolos Kai Gavna Mehavi, is that always considered a Makolos just because you have three stones? Ask the Gemara for Tanya. Then we learn in the Brisa, and we discussed this as we began our shir, that Elohein Avne Beis Kulis, what is the structure of the Beis Kulis stones? Achs Mikan, Vachs Mikan, Vachs Galbeim. So it has to be made specifically in that structure. And our Mishnah says just because you have three stones, it's already going to be considered Makulis. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, Ki Tanya Hehi, where were they careful that it's particular, that it should have that structure, b'ikamakulis. But here we're talking about the makulis cotton. And since they're not the main makulis, as we've been explaining, and therefore there they weren't careful that it should be made necessarily two next to each other, one on top of it. And therefore, if, and now we understand Rav Shmuel's opinion, if there are only two stones, so that's not a makulis. And since if you only have two stones, that's not a makulis, we have no concern. Three stones, and they're going to be a makulis cotton, for that, three stones are okay. And one of the, and I saw that the Tosfos Rosh explains why. He says, because by the makulis gadol, they would typically use large stones. And since they would typically use large stones, they could leave them in this structure, two next to each other, one on top. But Makulis cotton, they use small stones. When you have small stones, it's hard to keep them in that structure, two next to each other, one on top. It says the Marbe Yanei Malka, the home of Yanei got destroyed. Also of the Gechavim, and the Nochrim came, Okme Bey Makulis. And they put in the spot where they had this palace of Makulis. Also of the Gechav Machrini, and now other Nochrim came, the Loipol Chil Makulis, that didn't worship the Makulis, and they didn't have any significance to the Makulis. Shaklunu took away those stones. The Chippa Ben Drachim Sartoris, they used those stones to make a highway. Ikarabonet, so now the Gemara says, Ikarabonet the Parshi, There were Rabbanan that refused to travel on that road. Vikar Rabbanan Deloy Parshi, and there were Talmid Chacham that refused to travel on the road. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so says Rabbi Yochanan, B'non Shal Kedoshim, Abon Kedoshim, Nehal Chaleim, Vila Anan, if a B'non Shal Kedoshim, who the Gemara is going to identify in a moment, has no problem traveling on it, V'anan Nafresh Mehen, are we going to be more religious? So ask Marman Nina B'non Shal Kedoshim, who's the B'non Kedoshim that's being referred to here? Says the Gemara, refers to Rav Nachman Bas Samoi. But my Karlei B'non Shal Kedoshim, why was he called a B'non Shal Kedoshim? Says the Gemara, Dafila B'tzurus of the Zuzulay Mestakel, he did not look at coins. And the Pashup Shah in the Gemara means that he didn't look at coins because coins typically had an engraving of them of a person, and that was an Avodah Zarah. And therefore, he stayed away from looking at those coins. So, of course, many Mefarshim Tosis asks, why was he called a B'non Shel Kedoshim? What does it have to do with the fact that he didn't look at coins that have that engraving on it, that should give him the title of B'non Shel Kedoshim? Says the Noam Elimelech, if somebody is born into this world and he's a tzaddik, it must be that he comes from tzaddikim. He says, where do we see that from? The Pasuk says, the Yerushalmi, very famous Yerushalmi, says that when Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to give a macht, that everybody should give a machtzis a shekel, niskasha ba Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu had a difficult time how to make it, and Kadosh Baruch Hu showed matbeya shalesh. And of course, all the Mefarshim ask, what's so difficult to make a coin that Moshe Rabbeinu found this so difficult? And the answer is, to make a coin is not difficult. But to use a coin that it should be esh, to use a coin that it should be fire, that is difficult. And that could only come from a proper chinuch. If we see that Menachem ben, this Rabbi Menachem ben Samoy acted that way, that is obvious that he came from such a family. The Pashup Shad is that what was the difficulty of the Shekel HaKadosh? Says the Brisholim, because to make a coin without an engraving on it was a very not typical coin. Another Pshat that I saw from the Imre Noyam was that the Nachum Esmoy wasn't just a person who didn't look at coins. What he did was he broke all the Avodah Zarah, and that made him into a Kaddish. Another Pshat that I saw, that why is he called a B'non Shel Kedoshim? Because usually people who have Yichus rely on the Yichus. And therefore, maybe somebody else would be reluctant to look at a coin with a engraving on it. But Menachem ben Samoy was a B'non Shel Kedoshim. And what made him special was that even though that he had this great Yichus, he didn't rely on a Yichus. He just did what's right. He didn't rely on his Yichus. Another Pshat that I saw from the Tepuche Chaim is usually B'non Shel Kedoshim Rabbonim, Rosh Yeshiva, have to try to be nice to wealthy people. Menachem ben Samoy, even though he was a B'non Shel Kedoshim and might have had to rely on wealthy people, he did not stackle Tzursa Zuza. He did not pay attention to the wealthy people. He did what was right, even though he might have needed those funds for whatever tztaka he was busy with. Another pshat that I saw, and the pshat in the Gemara and the Imre Emes is, that he was so careful not to be involved with looking at coins. The fact that he's walked on these stones, that is a proof that he was a great person. Because if that was a proof that you're allowed to walk on that road. Because if you don't, if you If not, then you're not considered. Then he would. He certainly would. He certainly would have been very, very careful not to walk on the coin. The same pshat that I saw, that he didn't look at the tzurus of the zuzah, means that he didn't look. He was a benanshal kedoshim. He didn't look backwards at his yichus. He only looked forward. What am I supposed to do? And he didn't pay attention to the avodah zarah. So the question is, yes, the Gemara is identifying Menachem ben Menachem as this great individual. But why are we allowed to look at coins if they have these engravings on them? So Tosfos says that if you look at something which people look at all the time, people look at coins all the time, that's not considered looking at avodah zarah. The Magen Avraham says it's only considered if you're looking at it, if you're looking and staring at the image. But if you just look at a coin and you don't pay strong attention to it, then there's no problem. Another pshat the Rishonim suggests that the only time it's an issue is if the engraving was done for avodah zarah. This wasn't done for the purpose of avodah zarah, and therefore, since it wasn't done for the point of avodah zarah, there's no problem looking at those coins. So now the Gemara goes back to the roads that were made with the Avni Makulis that we saw some people, some Rabbonim, had now refrained from walking on those roads, and some people did not. Says the Gemara, my time of the Mount of Parish, why did the people who didn't walk on it, what was their thinking? Savala, Kihadam Rav Gidl, Amrav Chiba Yosef, Menayin let the Kruvus of Avodah Chavim. The way we learn that anything that's brought from Avodah Zarah, even though we've been learning so often in our Masechta the concept of nullifying avodah zara, takruvis avodah zara doesn't help. The Torah calls what was brought to the avodah zara zivchei meisim. Says the Gemara, ma meis ein lebetalim l'olam. You can never have benefit from a meis. Af takruvis avodah chavim ein lebetalim l'olamim. And the Makulis, where we had the stones thrown at them, the are considered the takruvis avodah zarah, because we're throwing the stones at the avodah zarah. And therefore, even though they were mevatel it, it doesn't make the difference. Mandaloi Pirish, and the people who walked on this road, Omar, Beinakein Panim, that in order for it to be considered takruvis avodah zarah, and this again the way Rashi learns the Gemara, it has to be similar to an avodah that was done in the Beis HaMikdash. As the Pasuk says regarding worshipping another avodah zarah, the Pasuk says, Zovich l'alehim yechram bitel Hashem dvar levadoi. Zvicha shchit is something that's done on a carbon. Throwing stones is not considered an avodah that was done in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore they don't get the category of takruvis. They're considered real avodah zarah, and since they consider real avodah zarah, just like we keep on learning, you can be mevatel real avodah zarah. Omer Rabbi Yosef bar Abi Ikla Rabba bar Yimiel Asrin. Rabba Yimiel once came to our city, and he brought the following brisa. If a nachri brings stones from the makolos avodah zarah, the chippah ben drachim, and he used those stones to make a highway, mitaris, because that's called being mevatel avodah zarah. However, therefore, Yisrael sheve avonim makulis, if a Yisrael brings stones from the makulis avodah zarah, the chip ben drachim v'satiyos, and he used it to make a highway, asuris, they're asur. Because only as we keep on learning, does the nachri have the ability to mevatel avodah zarah. A Yisrael does not have the ability to mevatel avodah zarah. And then he commented, "V'les nagav v'loy nagar, there is no Talmud Chacham nor the son of a Talmud Chacham, the Yifra Kenna, that could explain this brisa." To which says the Gemara, "Amar of Sheshet, ano loy an agar ano, I'm not such a great Talmud Chacham, v'loy ba nagar ano, v'perkina loy, and I'll explain the brisa. My kashle, why do you question that this is takruvis avodah zarah? And we just learned that Rav Gidl told us that Kruvus Avodah Zarah cannot ever be bottled." To which he says, "Be'inon came pnim. When is something considered in the category of Takruvus Avodah Zarah? Is when it's worshipped like what was worshipped in the way we did Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. For Lekka, and there was no Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash with throwing stones. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef Abba, Ikla Rav Yirmiyah L'Asrin. Rav Rava Bayirmiyah came to our location of Osva Isim Asnissim B'Yodim. He taught us the following halacha. Matlian, we could take out worms that are found in a tree. Umezamin, we could put fertilizer. If we see that the tree has some sort of a problem, we could put fertilizer on that spot. B'Shvi'i is in the Shemitah year, even though we know that we're not allowed to work in the Shemitah year. Here we're not doing it as we're going to be learning to improve the tree. We're just trying to prevent the tree from dying. But we may not do these activities. Both on the Shemitah year on Cholamayit, Eim Magzim, we can't cut off branches from the tree, that we should grow new branches in that spot. That's usur, both in the Shemitah year and the Cholamayit. The Sachin Shemel Legozim, if there was a tree that the branch was cut off before the Shemitah year, we're allowed to put oil on that spot. That Allah applies both on Chol HaMoed and both on the Shemitah. And to which he comment, there's no one who's enough of a Talmud Chacham that could explain this halacha. Amar Ravina, to which Ravina said, I have no problem explaining this brisa. Micah Koshalei, she said, what was bothering you with this brisa? You were asking a question, why is Chol HaMoed different than Shemitah? Maishna b'Shviyis, why is the halacha that on the Shemitah year we could take out the worms and we could cover up a problem with the tree? Maishna b'Moed, and why on Chol HaMoed is it usur? To which the Gemara says, Midami, we can't compare in all directions the halacha of Shemitah to Chol HaMoed. Shviyas melacha asur amrachmana. Then Kadosh Baruch Hu said that melacha is also on the Shemitah year. Tircha shari. Memayid, I feel tircha namiyas. And the way I saw the Mefarshim explain the Gemara is that the halacha of Shemitah and the halacha of Chol HaMoed are very, very different. Chol HaMoed, Chazal, the Torah doesn't want us to work and extend ourselves. And therefore, anything that's considered a tircha is also Chol HaMoed. Shemitah, we're not allowed to work on the property to make it better. Anything that's not in that category, there's no issa tircha in the Shemitah here. Says the Gemara, Zim Agizim. The question was, the Zim Halacha and the Gizim Halacha on Shemitah was a question. Maishna Zim Deshari. We learned that Zimun, we could do Zimun in the Shemitah year, or Maishna Gizim, but we learned that cutting off the branches are Asur. Says the Gemara, and that was the question, why are they treated differently? To which the Gemara says, Midami, Zium de'ukmi ilunai. The purpose of the Zium is just that the tree should not die, as we explained. Therefore, Shari, it may be done in the Shemitah year. Gizum, but the act of Gizum, Avri ilunai, is to make the tree have more branches, and therefore, that's Osir. That's Osir to be done in the Shemitah year. There's a discussion, as in the Halacha, how much in the sixth year are we allowed to do these activities? Says the Gemara, El Zium that we learned here and the Zium that we learned in another place, that was the question. The Tani, the Brisa says, Matliim Azimim B'Shviyas. Rameini, and asked the Gemara, the Mishnah Masechta Shviyas. Perek Beis, Mishnah Dala teaches us, Mezamin Es HaNetiyos V'Karchnoison. We could do zim on the trees, and we could wrap them in material. The kite menaisan, we could take off the top of the tree. That helps again by cutting the top of the tree; it helps it grow. Vaisalam batim, we could make fence around the tree, and then we fill the area of the fence with earth, and that again helps these young trees, or Mashkan aside Rosh Hashanah. And all these activities are permitted until Rosh Hashanah. But the bright Mishnah is teaching us add Rosh Hashanah in only till Rosh Hashanah are they permitted b'shvius loy, but in the Shemitah it's not. So here it says that we're not allowed to do zuyim in the Shemitah tree during Shemitah, and now Bryce it says we may. Says the Gemara of Dilma de Rav Okva b'chama. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah and the Brisa are not necessarily contradicting each other. Based on what Rav Akva b'chama told us, Dom Rav Okva b'chama, trei kashkushahei. There are two types of ditches that are dug around the olive tree. Chad levru yiloni. One is to make the tree stronger, and that's also in the Shemitah Yiv. Chad lestumi pili. And one is to cover the cracks. I saw two pshatim when the Gemara says cover the cracks. Some of Farshim explain there are cracks in the tree, and says some of Farshim say the cracks aren't in the tree, the cracks are in the earth, the cracks are in the earth around the tree. Says the Gemara. So that's mutter, because that isn't making the tree better. We're going to say the two types of zium. One is to keep the tree healthy, that's mutter. To make the tree better, and that's usher. So what's your question? Says that you don't have an answer. Says the Gemara, sicha, putting oil on top of the place where you cut before Shemitah. A sicha, what's taught in the Mishnah, versus what we learned in the Braisa, Kakashalei. The Tani, the Braisa says, Sokha Shem L'gizim Beim Emoid Beim Shvi'is. They were allowed to do this, both on Chol Emoid and on Shemitah. Vermini, but on this asked the Gemara, the Mishnah Masech, the Shvi'is, Perek Beis, Mishnah A says, Sokhin Es HaPagin, the small figs that haven't even begun to grow, when they start coming out of the tree, they used to smear them with oil, and that would help them, the way I saw some say, that would help them become juicier. Others say it helped them ripen. Some, we could make holes in these figs and fill them up. And again, the purpose being to make the figs better or the figs ripen. Ad Rosh Hashanah. And all that might be done till Rosh Hashanah. And again, the Mishnah is teaching us, add Rosh Hashanah in. We could only do this until Rosh Hashanah, but Shvi'is and the Shemitah Yeloi. And the Braisa says that we can put on that oil. Answers the Gemara, very simple teretz. Midami. Hochmi ukmi aluna. The Braisa is speaking about putting the oil on the tree itself. Putting the oil on the tree itself is here to preserve the tree. That's mutter. Vishari. Hasam p'tumei peri. To make the fruit of the Shemitah year better. That's usur, says the Gemara. Amalei Rav Sama b'Reid Rav Ashi l'Ravina by Yimya, the sich the miyud the moed azim the moed. The question that they didn't know the answer was that the halacha is that you're allowed to shmear the tree on chol moed, but on the other hand, to do zim on a tree that is not healthy, we may not do. That was the question, and the question now is. Michti, hayukmi vayukmi. Both of these activities are to strengthen the tree. Maishnai haydashari. Why may sicha be done in cholamoid? Or maishnai hay? And why is zim an asur? Answers the Gemara, and that's what he said. Hayna the kamer, and that's why he commented, less nagavalei magadi yifrake. I don't have anybody that can answer why this is mutter in cholamoid and this is not mutter in cholamoid. But one of the things that we've learned in our shiur today is that the rules of Chol Hamoed and the rules of Shemitah are not the same. Chol Hamoed, it's a question of malacha. It's a question of tircha, the Gemara said. And Shemitah, it has to do with the fruit. But now there's a question that the Paiskim discuss. What is the halacha to do something on Chol Hamoed which doesn't involve tircha? Do we say that as soon as it's a malacha, it's asur? Or is it only if it's a tircha will it be asur? But if something is not a tircha, then it wouldn't be asur. The one of the examples that the Paiskim discuss, I saw two examples. One is, it used to be that the paper that was used in the washroom came in a roll. And if you want to have paper for Shabbos, what you needed to do is cut it before Shabbos. And the question is, may you do this on Chol HaMoed? It's a malacha. Tearing the paper is certainly a malacha, but it's not a big tircha. What would be the halacha when something is a tircha, not a malacha? Would it be asr or mutter? Because again, what is the isr on yontif? Is the isr on yontif tircha or Chol HaMoed? Is the factor that we have to take in consideration tircha, or is the factor in consideration malacha? Another example I saw is somebody wants to light a fire. So striking a match is certainly a malacha, but it's not a big tircha to strike a match. So what would be the halacha? Would it be mutter because it's not val the tircha? Or would it be usr if you could light a fire from an existing fire and you don't have to strike a match? Then the halacha is that you should not do it in Chol HaMoed. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach's Tzal paskin that wherever you could avoid a malacha, even if the malacha that you're avoiding doesn't involve any tircha, Rav Shlomo Zalman's opinion was that you shouldn't do it on Chol HaMoed.